turn on, you're like, oh, what's this AEW wrestling show? And you're like, wait, I haven't watched wrestling in a while. Oh, Jeff Jarrett. I didn't like him back then. Now, who are these clowns with him? Like,
he really has quite a crew that that surrounds him.
The only thing I like Sanjay Dutt on is he's like the camera guy on RJ City's show.
Oh, uh-huh.
And he like laughs in the background. That's like the funniest part. Well, not the funniest part, excuse me. That's not the funniest part, but it definitely accentuates the show. I don't know. I don't know if you've watched. What the hell is that called? Oh, it's
Hey EW. Yeah.
Did you see the Hardy one?
No.
It's very funny. Like, I couldn't believe some of the stuff he was saying to him. And they're just taking it. And I like, you know, Matt starts laughing. And then Matt kind of like gets in front of it and just starts making his own stupid jokes, which is fun. So,
yeah.
But I've always enjoyed that show, so I give Sanjay Dutt a pass on that. But the rest of it, no. I don't just – no. I know this is old stuff. I don't care. It's crap.
Yeah, it's kind of rough that it's an ongoing act that gets any type of feature whatsoever, honestly.
You know what? And I'll actually throw a bone to it. If it was just Jeff Jarrett, that's fine, you know? But it's not. So then the same thing happens in every match. And, like, Aubrey Edwards is just standing around watching Karen Jarrett, like, rake Ray Phoenix's back.
Oh, yeah.
Satnam Singh just gets on the ring, just stands there. And it's like, if you're watching it, and listen, WWE is not perfect. And really, it's not a very good example of this entire show, by the way, but it's just a terrible way to start. You can do whatever you want. They even said Ray Phoenix attacked John Moxley. No, they didn't. They said this is the same tactics he used with John Moxley last week. Which is what everyone does in this goddamn league, is attack somebody before the match even starts.
Yeah, it's definitely anything goes company. And
yeah,
I don't think it helps the product. I think that's part of the reason why I always end up comparing it to regular sports. It's just like, no one does this. Like, there's... You know, it's one aspect of things to cheat the win, you know, just have someone do a little bit of something underhanded for you to get the win. It's completely different to have a hardcore match before the match even rings. And I mean, the bell even rings. And how many times have we also made fun of the fact that, like, you know, a full-on assault goes on. They get rolled into the ring. They're still down. The referee's like, yep, let just ring the bell, man. At least in WWE, well, I will say that I do feel like it happened once recently, which made me laugh. And I'm like, oh, my God, they're picking up AEW's habits.
Yeah, some wrong stuff to copy. Yeah.
But most of the time in the WWE, that one exception in recent memory aside, in general, they're like, hey, we've got to make sure this guy recovers. And there's usually at least a commercial break for someone to gather themselves.
Or WWE will just postpone the match till later in the show.
Or they'll do that.
Or cancel it. Or just cancel it and be like, nope, you're doing it next week. You know? Like,
yeah.
Well, you kind of should. Actually, you shouldn't reward the person who attacks them. Well, no, we're going to have it next week. No, you blew it. Tough, but that's just never what happens.
I wouldn't quite expect that extreme, honestly.
Do you remember back when everyone was just using chairs left and right, and no one's getting disqualified, no one's getting counted out, none of this stuff, right? And then they suddenly went, all right, we're enforcing the rules again. And everyone got pissed, and then just kind of got used to it. To where, all right, you know, WWE over-relies on that sort of stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But at least they established something so that there's some some small basis for anything. But AEW is just, it's just the same thing all the time. And, like, the shows are paced weird. Like, Chris, I was giving Chris a hard time on X. Like, it's not Twitter anymore. It's X, formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah, I have faithfully just kept on saying Twitter just to be a shithead. Well,
It's Facebook. Remember when they were thinking about changing Facebook to Meta? And then they just said, no, we're just going to do, or the company will be named Meta instead.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah, because yes. It's a stupid name.
Smart decision, guys.
Yeah, but... And like Chris is like, I never stopped. Like Chris is like, oh, Aubrey, like the chant of Aubrey is like tuned me out, and I'm like, that's what did it. Like, you're taking enjoyment. I mean, I just obviously didn't tell him any of this, so, but it's like, that's what did it for you. Like, you're enjoying this garbage. Like, I actually, if they ever, and I'm being dead serious, if they ever pulled a match where one person beat the hell out of the other person with a chair. Just beat him down, rolled him in, the referee rang the bell, and they pinned him. I would be absolutely fine with that. The crowd would hate it and boo and all this other stuff. Like, this is what you guys want. Because they book to their small-ass audience. Not to a major audience. They don't. So.
Yeah, I mean, that... I'm trying to think of where... just because it's an ongoing saga about their ticket sales in general, honestly. I think that that's one reason why that whole Wembley Stadium thing doesn't go away.
That's true. I mean, I guess I can kind of see that, but it's like, can't we all just agree it's a one-off anomaly? Like, they're saying they're going to do it again next year, and I guess maybe they'll get the same. You know, maybe they'll get their 71 or 85. I don't know. But that's over there, where a whole year's worth of touring over here isn't getting them that much. I mean, maybe that's a little too grand of a statement.
Yeah, it's a little much. But
for their pay-per-views, I think.
Well, they just did what? I think it ended up being around 11 or something like that for Grand Slam. And I was a little bit surprised that I don't have the number in front of me, but I would have expected Arthur Ashe to hold more people than the number that I saw. Because I think
they didn't sell it out. That's why.
Well, no, I just thought the stadium capacity was smaller than I expected. Because I think it's only, because I'm looking it up, I think it was only like 20,000 or something like that. Like, it's 23,000. 23,771.
Holy shit, that's terrible then.
What the listed capacity is.
I know the stage is much bigger now. So, you're going to lose people, obviously. I mean, you look at it, that stage is not near WWE size, mind you. But that stage is big. And I don't know, maybe I haven't been paying attention. They've changed up the guardrails around ringside. I have not paid a lick of attention to this.
Well, and Grand Slam wasn't a good indicator of how they normally set up the ringside area anyway. Just because they had that the giant ramp that hurt two people. That it
Adam
hasn't...
Cole broke his ankle jumping off of that.
In three places.
I mean, I'm being dead serious. Listen, I know this is taboo to say. Get on testo, HGH, steroids, whatever you gotta do, buddy. You gotta get better. Like, this can't keep happening. And I know the concussion wasn't his fault, right? But it's the overall presentation of him has not been good. And that, like, everyone kept saying he looks small, he looks frail, whatever else. He just took a jump off of 4 feet? Is that what it usually is?
Broke
his ankle? Like, what the fuck are you doing? And yes, I do this. I do something like this every day. So it ain't that hard not to do it.
Yeah, it's pretty amazing that that his ankle... And I mean, he said ligaments. I mean, it's wrestling, so who knows?
That's what I was going to get to in a second, yeah.
Certainly possible. Haven't seen the diagnosis, so, you know, it's always one of those you never know. But, I mean, and I think I said when we talked about it last week, I mean, you could definitely tell that something had happened.
Oh, for sure, yeah.
You know, and it wasn't good, so... yeah, not surprising that he needed to end up going in for surgery, but yeah, it's hard to believe that that's what it did it. And that's it ends up falling into one of those sometimes the injuries happen at the dumb, you know, with the dumbest things.
Oh no, that's exactly what it is.
This is a situation.
Yeah, I'm giving it a hard time being a dickhead about it, but yeah, I mean that's all it was. I mean, you see guys fall through tables, fall off of this, do this. I'm sure they're sore and hurting, right? Not yeah. breaking anything. And here, all he does is a simple 4-foot jump.
And just and his ankle just turns into jelly.
Yeah, supposedly. So, and I'm saying that because exactly what you said, it's wrestling. So, all right, if you say so, you know?
Oh, yeah. I don't know what the extent is. Obviously, it seems to me like they're at least giving up the tag team. Or no, hold on. MJF's going to defend them now solo?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. And we'll see how that goes. I'm guessing someone's going to take his place. Or Adam Cole's going to like hit one of them with his cast or something. Because he's not beyond cheating. He helped Max last week and then hid the evidence. You know.
Right.
So, you know, and that's where I was going with. All right, maybe like this is like his. He's hurt, right? He's hurt. Just like Roddy's neck is that bad, and he always needs Adam for something. You know, and it just makes you wonder if this is a long play. I'm not saying his ankle's not truly broken.
Right.
But is it really broken in three places and all, like, everything he's saying? So.
Yeah, the way that he described it definitely led you to, well, when someone says surgery, you always think a longer timeline. You know, right. And is it just a regular injury that maybe he could be back in, you know, a month and a half or something after it heals up and and everything's fine. So, yeah.
Surprises everybody.
Yeah, who knows?
I mean, there is honestly that aspect of it.
I did love, I saw the idea floated on Twitter that Roderick Strong should become his MJF's tag team partner, and they end up having a buddy relationship at the end, and Adam Cole gets jealous over that.
Who said this?
I believe it was Trevor Dame is the person on the X that floated this idea.
Okay, I don't mind that at all. It's a long play. It's kind of goofy, but no goofier than Roderick Strong coming out in a wheelchair, a rolling wheelchair, straight from the hospital, still in his hospital gown. And then, but then it turns out, no, it's customized with the Hot Roddy on the back. Like, wait, what? I don't hate this because I think we talked about this. Isn't this the first time he's had a personality ever? Outside of Dexter Loomis kidnapping him?
Yeah, Roderick Strong has had a very late career first persona having. Being the Messiah, the backbreaker, it does not mean you have a personality. It just means you have a gimmick.
Yeah. So, all right, I have to interject right now. I don't want to see anyone doing cartwheels anymore. No back springs. None of this bullshit. God, I'm so sick of this. No one's a gymnast. AJ Styles came from a gymnastics background. Tiffany Stratton does. I don't think she actually uses she ever does that.
She has done a couple of handsprings.
Well, Well, then, okay, with her, it would make more sense. We can just tell these people aren't fucking gymnasts. It looks stupid. It kills your momentum. And everyone always just ends up going, ho, 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 and then someone hits somebody. It's fucking retarded.
Yeah, I do. There is a very rare amount of times when the handspring elbow or something. Like, I remember thinking it was really cool when... Would the Great Muta have done that probably first that we would have seen?
Yeah, and you know what? Because he was awesome. That's why. He could pull it off.
Yeah.
He's like, who's the one that does a lot? Ivar does it all the time. It's not impressive, bud.
Oh, yeah, him pulling the cartwheel. I'm always like, whatever, dude. And like,
because it always looks dumb. Like, even Jay Lethal, he does the lethal injection, does a handstand off of the ropes, and I was like, why? It kills your momentum. Just because it looks cool, it's unnecessary. It's just stupid.
Well,
sick of seeing it.
And that's what the worst part is about the back handsprings, is that most of the time you can, like you said, like you can see the momentum dying in there. You know, against their better judgment. Like, you should really be wanting to really, like, launch into this. But because they're trying to be a safe worker, they can't do that. You know, it's one of those things that the move itself almost contradicts the original intention of the move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep.
It's just terrible. So, whatever. The reason is, like, Julie, like, oh, God, that was not enough of Rose. Willow Nightingale did one. And then Julia Hart does one. Julia Hart stopped like 3 feet from her.
Oh.
And that's what just set me off finally. I was like, I'm tired of seeing it. And then Julia Hart, as I'm bitching, goes off the top rope with a gorgeous moonsault and beats Willow Nightingale. Spoiler, by the way, like you didn't see it coming. But Julia Hart, all of a sudden, is pretty fun to watch. I remember when she first was on, I distinctly remember she is not supposed to be on TV right now.
Well, she's in that that Thea Hale age group there where it's just like, hold on, aren't you just like barely able to legally drink? And it's just like, yeah, how much experience can they realistically have? Especially to be on a national program. And, yeah, her getting away from Griff Garrison and Brian Pillman Jr., that was really great for her.
Yes. And, like, getting the old mist in the eye, as they say, most of the time.
Yeah.
There's something about getting something in their eye is not appreciated. So... speaking of, since we're not, you know, whatever, we only caught the first hour of AEW. So watching NXT last night, did you catch the Brian Pillman vignette?
Yes. Yes, I did.
They're building him up? I was like, what?
I mean, he does... I wasn't surprised that they were... gonna debut him sooner rather than later. He kind of has a lot of experience for what they're doing right now in NXT.
Oh, that's true.
I know that he still hasn't been in wrestling like for, you know, a decade or something on the indies, something crazy like that, but honestly, like, he probably has about as much experience except for, you know, like the longer term type of guys like Baron Corbin or even like Dijak is definitely a bona fide part of the NXT roster, and he's been around for a while now. Because if I watch you in Ring of Honor and you've now been in the WWE for like 4 to 5 years, you've been around a minute.
Yeah, and.
And I feel like Dijak is somewhere in that category. Like, I'm not looking at his numbers currently, but I have a feeling that it's at least been pre-pandemic that he was in the Fed.
Yeah, wasn't he part of the? He was. I mean,
Retribution was the.
Yeah, but I mean, he was in NXT before that, so it's got to be a while now.
Yeah.
But right, real quick, I want to get back to him because that match was funny.
Oh, okay.
But the Brian Pillman thing surprised me. I figured he would just be like on an episode of NXT. He'd just show up. And everyone would be like, give the play. Yay, Brian Pillman's here. But, I mean, they're going, like, if you get a vignette, isn't it safe to say you're going full force with somebody? Unless it's Emma, of course. Poor woman.
I mean, I think the follow-through is a little bit better in NXT. Well, I can't say that. Just because I know it ties into another vignette. A little bit surprised by... there's been a little start and stop with... your favorite new tag team, Mud.
Yep. That name's awful. I'm sure it's slang for something. I don't care. Just call him OTM. That's fine. Don't ever say the name. Don't ever tell us what it is again. That is stupid. And now that I've said that, I'm going to go look it up and see what it means.
So. But anywho, I was going to say that I thought about them because they had gotten vignettes ahead of time. And I was like, oh, they're going to come out and dominate. And then they win... something like an intentional squash match. Mm-hmm. And I think they lost in the second week to the Creed brothers.
Yep. Yep.
And it's just like, huh?
Yep.
Like just completely killed them, you know, like momentum right out of the gate. And it was just like, why are you doing this?
Yeah, and then now they got him teamed up with Scripps.
Weirdly, Scripps seems to fit in.
Yeah, because he can talk. I don't think they can yet. So they're letting him do all the yammering and all that stuff. And speaking of talking, just to make sure I have AEW still on, there's another talking segment on this show. Remember when they were supposed to be the alternative to WWE? That ship is fucking sailed. Another long sit down. Anyways, back to OTM. They're just a weird one. But yeah, Adam Scripps, it's just funny to put him with him. But then at first I was like, what is this crap? And then, it does work. Oh, and OTM, by the way, from Urban Dictionary, Get Out the Mud refers to someone who only had themselves to rely on to become stable financially, physically, mentally. So, there you go. So, again, just call him OTM. So.
I brought them up just because, going back to Brian Pillman, just kind of, I would expect some type of push for him since he is getting a segment. But yeah, I don't know. I guess it hasn't been completely consistent that someone's gotten that level of, and I mean, it's kind of interesting. Like they're almost running the problem where everyone's just kind of okay right now in NXT.
Yeah, okay, and to me, there's the standouts. Are pretty much, they're going to be gone soon.
The standouts are around the whole main event scene. And then there's other guys that I guess I've enjoyed quite a bit, but, no one's put together a sustained win streak in that whole, Nathan Frazier, Butch ended up winning the tournament. So, essentially a new guy ended up winning the tournament for a NXT championship, right? Yeah.
No, Heritage Cup.
Oh, well, it's an NXT thing.
Oh, okay.
I guess, yeah. Championship is a bad word to use since it's not that. But, you know, to me, it's kind of weird to have a guy from the main roster be the challenger. Unless you just, because, yeah, like, it, I guess it, well, my point was trying to be, why don't you push one of the other guys? Like, let Nathan Frazier win the cup back, I guess. It would be maybe one of the reasons why I had my brain on him. Like, get him a redemption story instead of main roster Butch.
Yeah.
It's going to be, you know, it's one of those situations that we talk about a lot where there's going to be a great match and I'm going to probably enjoy it. The storyline's kind of weird to me.
Yeah, the one thing for me was like, it was weird hearing him say Butch in NXT. It was always been Pete Dunne. So I was like, oh, that's weird. But yeah, I don't get. I figured not Joe Gacy, Joe Coffey was winning. Yeah, you know, you got the weird dynamic of Goofy Noam Dar and then Joe Coffey.
Oh.
But yeah, because you already have one main roster guy that owns the NXT North American title. And I like how they've built in the escape clause that, you know, Dom's going to lose because Dragon Lee's going to cost him the match. So it's like, okay, that's a good out. Yeah, I just thought that was very strange. But Butch and Noam Dar will be pretty good. It was in NXT UK when the few times they actually fought. So I guess, like, it's weird, like, we get what we see on TV, right? And then when they have, like, their pay-per-views or whatever, it's like a completely different show. They just do matches. You know? Like, there's no... I mean, I know it's what usually happens, but there's no, like, character work anymore. Like, all right, here comes... Maybe Noam Dar will, because he's got Metaphor and he's got the goofy round system. And see what, you know, goofy shit that they get into with the Metaphor stuff, which is like one of the reasons to watch them. But, and that's about all, though, unfortunately. So, but, yeah. Excuse me. Yeah, but main roster guys in NXT are fine. Oh, well, yeah, actually, two of them. I forgot. Becky Lynch is the NXT women's champion. Oh. I totally forgot.
Yeah, that was a weirdly an easy brain fart.
Yeah, because it just seems odd. You know, I guess Charlotte won the NXT title from Rhea. Yeah, that was after she main evented with Ronda and Becky.
Yes.
Yeah, so, but it just seems weird. If you've main evented a WrestleMania, you probably shouldn't be going back to NXT. To win any titles. Like, you can go down there to show up. And, like, whatever happened to Bron Breakker and Seth Rollins?
Seth Rollins won.
Was I gone? No, seriously, did I miss that match?
Yeah, they had the match on a Wednesday, or Tuesday night.
Where the hell was I?
I don't know. Yeah, that one got settled.
Well, son of a bitch, I take that back. But, I honestly thought...
Yeah, no title was at stake for that one.
Oh. Okay.
Which I think was the smart move. I think it was just a match. Or no, Seth's title was at stake. Because, yeah, that was after Braun was NXT champ. After he was champion?
No, he was not champ. Because he lost at a WrestleMania weekend to Carmella.
Okay, yeah. So he was not champ to challenge, and yeah, Seth won.
Now I'm checking my calendar. I'm like, where the hell was I?
I don't remember this. I don't know. Because, I mean, at this point almost, it would be weird for Tiffany Stratton to win this coming Sunday.
Yes, I think it really would, actually. But they like doing that. Because isn't Halloween Havoc the next one?
Probably.
So, yeah, so that'll they'll probably have it there. And you can have, like, you know, insert, because, like, Lia Valkyria, who's always around, can insert herself or something like that, you know. Yeah, because, I mean, yeah, but this is a weird thing they've been doing, because even at Vengeance Day, New Day were the tag team champions. They lost there, but, like, New Day won the NXT tag titles just because they hadn't before. Which, why would they? They weren't New Day in NXT. So.
Yeah. Well, I think we talk about it a lot. They just really are keeping Becky and Rhea away from each other until WrestleMania. And yeah. Becky, they did a good job of keeping her in future feuds. But, like, she's out of those type of matches now that her and Trish are done.
Yeah.
Like, there is no feature feud that I can think of that's going to happen with her. Like, you know, I think it's been kind of made clear by how things have gone on that Lita had, you know, her run and that was it. You know, like, she's good with being out of the ring.
Oh, yeah. She hasn't even been seen. It was like, so, peace, I'm good.
Yeah, I'm an integral part of this storyline, but I'm never going to show back up again.
Yeah, I'm being mentioned left and right, but I'm not going to show back up. Like, okay. Doesn't she live in South America or Mexico or something?
Oh, I have no idea.
I know she moved, like, some weird place, but not weird place, but I guess, you know, a little off the beaten path for most Americans just to go and, you know, live in Rio or something. I don't know if that's where she's at.
I'm trying to see if they actually have something here.
So, to go back while you're looking, to go back to the Dijak thing real quick.
Uh-huh.
I texted you last night. It was the last thing I texted you. I was like, damn, another crying kid. So, I can't remember what the girl's name was offhand, but Dijak, I don't know if he was saying this is for you, kiddo, or something.
Evidently he knew the girl's name and actually used it. I'm like, oh my, like, I love that that the WWE is making children cry again. Like,
it's like,
come on.
Fuck them kids. It's awful.
Well, like, I mean,
it, but come on, man.
Yeah, I definitely would have to say that my reactions as a child were stronger than they are today. You know, I don't know if I was that invested in wrestling, but, you know, probably because my uncle wasn't, or whatever he is. I'm trying to think of what he is to that child, but. You know, I like it. The whole making children cry, that's two thumbs up. Like, it scars people. It sells the emotion of the match. You know, like, I think we make fun of all the terrible cuts to people in the crowd just because they like to do them entirely too much. That type of situation is really effective and really emotional, even if you're laughing at it. You know what I mean?
I'm laughing at it because of the absurdity of it. Like, we talked about this. This is like, it's not, it's, you don't have to. Remember how upset everyone was? It's a different scale. But Foley getting beat to death in front of his kids.
Well,
and how can you do that? I mean, and I understand he got clobbered with chair after chair after chair. Right? I'm not saying that it's a saint, but was this 2 out of 3 weeks now? 3 out of 4, or 2 out of 4, something like that? Like, did legitimately Chad Gable's kids are right there because they walked up the aisle to leave. Those were legit his kids and his wife.
Oh, right.
And his real kids are crying in front of him. Like, what are we doing? You don't let him in on it, so you get a real reaction like that. And it's just like, oof. And then this week, Dijak went as far as to learn his niece's name and then tell her to her face using her name, "This is your fault," and then beats her uncle right in front of her. And I know Chad Gable's daughter was crying pretty good. This girl was a ballin' in the background. And I paused it, rewound it. I was like, look at this. Like, this poor kid is bawling her eyes out.
Trump.
And as soon as, like, you know, her uncle comes back, she's immediately into the match again. So it's a joy being kids.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. She bounced right back. But she may be traumatized for the rest of her life, which is great.
Yeah, well, you know. but then the goofy thing is, they're going to be like, oh, it's all right. It's all right. We're going to meet. See, we're friends. You know, like, they'll bring backstage, Dijak probably goes up to her, "Hey, I'm Matt," or whatever his real name is.
Oh.
He's like, "Oh, yeah, you know, me and your uncle, we're friends." And it's like, what? Like,
kid's mind is just blown. He keeps kayfabe the whole time and just wears glasses around her and doesn't acknowledge her.
Yeah. That would be like kind of like an MJF probably would have done, but now that he's like a pseudo good guy, you know, he can go out of his way to be nice again or like pay attention. But I always just wondered, that'd be funny. Especially if the two wrestlers don't actually like each other and they're actually fighting. Like, not actually fighting, but like, you know, in a feud.
Oh.
And he's like, they're like, "Daddy," and they runs up to the guy. And the other guy just walks by. He's like, "Fuck that kid." Just keeps on walking.
Oh man, yeah. I feel like they don't do that backstage as much as they maybe once used to.
Yeah. It didn't sound like in the old days the families exactly went backstage.
Well,
they weren't smart to the business, as they keep saying in all the. Oh, every documentary, you know, from the guys from the 60s and 70s.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, no, I thought NXT had some decent stuff. I'm still not down, and maybe that's what they want from us. I'm still not down with Trick and Carmelo feuding.
They really pushed that to a different spot, I felt like, yeah. This week. Before is just like, hey, maybe there's some simple misunderstandings and things of that nature. This week with Carmelo Hayes pretty much completely blowing him off, it's definitely a different feel to it.
Yeah, and that really is what I was thinking too. Like, well, he blows him off. He does apologize later, you know, and then. At the end, when Ilya and Carmelo were having their, like, one-on-one and all that stuff, that he lets Trick's name slip. And even Ilya's like, oh! It's like, all right, so they're, like, doing all these little subtle hints to where Carmelo, and really, he's gotten better as he's been champion, but he was kind of, like, wasn't that the thing? He was, like, egotistical?
Yeah, oh.
So,
yeah.
It's not really like he's different, so.
No, he never really formally became a babyface. You know,
yeah,
like, him and Braun Breaker, or became, oh, I guess he, oh, yeah, because he just got attacked by Braun Breaker. That was it. That was the moment.
Yes. Yeah, because, well, I mean, people were still cheering for Melo anyways.
Yes.
So it wasn't like a big surprise. So he didn't really change too much. But he was doing the humble brag. So when Braun turned on, we were like, yeah, you know, I kind of get it.
yeah, I kind of got it, but that was the moment. So to me, like, he didn't really have a... I'm going babyface so much as someone turned heel on him and it just turned him, you know, officially yeah. Babyface. Like you said, like he definitely was getting cheers, but yeah, like he never has really changed his attitude at all to adjust to being a babyface.
Yeah.
And that's fine, because I think it's worked within his character. But yeah, it's, yeah, he finds himself in a weird spot, especially now that, man, people really do seem to like the Trick Williams here.
Because hasn't Trick actually shown some growth between the two? You know, Melo's got the pressures of being champion, if you want to put it that way, right?
Yeah.
But Trick has been the guy who's like, yeah, I got to show, I got to stand on my own. Melo's like, yeah, I already know you can. He's like, but I got to do it myself. And I'm like, all right, cool. And that's what Trick keeps doing, you know? And no. To me, like, and I guess it's what we're, you know, it works that they show, all right, this man's growing while Melo's kind of stayed the same. Which, of course, has worked for him, so why would he change?
You know? Yeah, I mean, he is the champ. That seems like a pretty good reason to stay the course.
Yeah, it does seem that way. Unless you're a sports franchise and you keep winning, you're like, no, I know better. Like, okay. Get rid of everybody. So, but yeah, I don't know. I keep forgetting No Mercy is what, Sunday?
Right? Saturday. Yeah, No Mercy is Saturday, and Wrestle Dream is Sunday.
Oh, I don't care about Wrestle Dream one bit. Like, I don't. Yeah, I don't give a rat's ass. Like, weren't they supposed to only be doing pay per views, like, when they mattered? So that's why we were only getting 4 a year. And isn't this like 3 in 2 months, essentially?
Yep, Tony's looking at his pocketbook and realizing that he needs more money.
Jesus. Like, with the rumors of them going to Max and possibly all the pay-per-views being on there, I guess start ramping it up now, I guess. But there's no chance of hell I'm ordering one anyways. But I'm definitely not ordering one a month for $50. I mean, that's crazy, but if they get people to pay for it, then hey, you know, whatever. So
yeah, that is an interesting thing, because yeah, I was wondering if I was going to order this one. Like, there's not a lot of stuff that I think that they did a better job of building this up and talking about this pay per view than they have All In or All Out. Doesn't make me care about it. Like, even if Adam Cole hadn't gotten hurt, Better Than You, Baby versus Empire?
No, that's FTR.
Oh, shit, that's right.
Not The Revival. What the hell
is called? The Righteous.
That's it, thanks.
Yeah, that matchup isn't going to do anything for me. And quite frankly, the other tag team match isn't going to do a whole lot for me either.
No, neither one. Like, it's kind of the Jeff Jarrett thing that I don't give a fuck. Jeff Jarrett hasn't won a damn thing in this league. Aussie Empire lost the Ring of Honor titles, then came out and beat jobbers. I don't even know. What you said, The Righteous? I don't follow Ring of Honor because they put it behind a paywall. So I don't care. No. Like, Vincent's fine. I don't even know who the other guy is.
They've been together for a while, but I think that they were mostly together for the coming back from COVID situation.
Okay.
And, yeah, because I know that The Righteous has been a thing, but again, not terribly familiar. Vincent was around because he was with The Kingdom or whatever Matt Taven's second reboot of The Kingdom was.
Oh, yeah, with Vincent. Oh, is that the other guy that was there?
PCO. Oh, well, yeah, PCO was a part of it, but I think that was the other guy that was with the three of them. It was the three of them.
Yeah.
And a woman, I believe. So, yeah, it. What the hell was that?
What's that?
I forgot my train of thought there.
Oh, okay.
That was all. You know, about Wrestle Dream and What else were we, the fuck were we talking about?
Well, we were talking about, like, NXT, how the show is one way and then the pay-per-view is totally different. And then, uh-oh. These Wednesday shows, man.
Yeah, they're terrible.
That's been pretty good till now. As reset, the Tony D stuff, where they're inviting everybody to lunch or dinner. Yeah, I know. I'm just jumping straight into this. But
that's fine. I could talk about that all night long, so that's fine.
The fact they're patting him down cracked me up. Then the Creed's walking like in like the what are they? They're not Los Lotharios. What are they now? Los Primos?
Oh, I think so.
And they're like they're all offended. Whatever else, the Creed's come in. They pat him down. Like, all right, we're gonna eat. Like, don't care. And Brutus is not a good actor. Or he's a great actor disguised as a buffoon. Because that shit was killing me. He's like, I just want to eat. He's like, hey, like over. He's over exaggerating everything.
Yeah, Brutus was killing me in those in that segment. Just everything was about food.
Yeah.
So,
I get it.
Yeah. You got to have one guy in there. You got. They let Julius be the serious one, so he gets to be the goofball.
Yeah, because Brutus is like, hey, this isn't the place where, you know, what happened to that guy? And I was trying to think, did they bump somebody off at one of the restaurants?
I didn't think so.
I wonder if that's where Dimes went. Yeah, maybe they did Dimes at dinner, but he's like, no. And the Los Primos like, what? And like, no, that's the other place. He's like, oh, okay, I'm going to eat. Like, I take his word for it, I guess.
Yeah, I don't know if they were expecting a Red Wedding situation.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Wrong movie genre, guys, come on.
Yeah, but it's like, yeah, it's true. But it's like, I just kind of gave up. And I just kind of enjoy this goofy shit. It doesn't make any sense. But whatever. You just kind of go with it.
You know what it was, by the way? We were talking about the duel. There's a premium live event and pay-per-view.
Yeah, and whether
we wanted to order that or not. And
yes, that's right.
And
No Mercy's on Saturday.
Yeah, No Mercy. If it will help AEW if they get a streaming service, just because Chris and I talked about it the other day. Like, it's weird, honestly, at this point for a company to be that out there and to not have any web presence. Like, every TV show that I watch pushes an online presence. And to just be completely silent about having an online presence is weird. Mm-hmm. You know? And I think that that'd be great it would force me into buying Max, which I don't currently have. If they're going to do these things, though, let's say 8 times a year or something like that, I don't want to be pulling out the $50 all the time.
Yeah, and, well, like I said, I'm never doing that again. So this will be the only way I'll watch one of their pay-per-views. And I know I'm in the minority, but that Wembley show wasn't that good. And the final match just left such a bad taste in my mouth, it's still there. So, you know, me accepting the show, and especially paying $50, no. But I already have Max, and that's fine. But there's talking about adding a sports tier. So it'd be like 10 extra bucks. And it's like, well, what other sports am I getting? Because, like, HBO got rid of boxing. They don't have a contract with any MMA that I know of. Like,
yeah, and they're locked up with ESPN for a while.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to think of. The other kind of big promotion, Bellator. Didn't have
UFC
some
buy Bellator?
Huh?
Didn't UFC buy Bellator?
Oh, there's no secondary promotion anymore in the.
I know there's the PFL.
And oh, I was unaware if they bought them.
I think so. I'm looking it up real quick. I believe so. I'm so far out of UFC ever since they went to this ESPN thing.
Yeah, it's been kind of wild that I have been out.
No, Bellator is still owned by some independently. So, I was wrong.
Okay. Yeah. So, what comparison was I making there? You were talking about sports it being on Max and what other sports you're going to get. And I think that Bellator is tied up with someone for a while. I guess, I was trying to think of other, kind of similar companies that they could absorb that would, go into that sports streaming service. Because, the NFL's tied up, the NHL's tied up for a while.
Showtime for Bellator.
MLS is tied up with Apple TV for a fucking long, the next decade, I think.
Yeah.
None of these sports companies are on all that short of contracts. It's just so I'm with you. I don't know where their content comes from with that many people or that many sports tied up. Pretty much all the major ones are tied up for a while now.
Yeah, I don't know if you heard me, but they're part of the Showtime, so they're part of the Paramount Plus app as well, or the Paramount app, whatever it's called. So that's up. Yeah, I don't know what they would be able to cover. So you're essentially paying $10 for a pay-per-view every month, because they had said if they go to this is all rumor, by the way, if they do go, there will be 12 pay-per-views or... If they call them premium live events, whatever they're going to call them. So there will be one a month. But then, what happens to, Fighter Fest, Fight for the Fallen, all that stuff? Because that was, that was their thing. They would build up those in between building up to the pay-per-views while on the slide building up all these pay-per-views in the middle of it all. But... regardless, there's no good football games on Saturday night. Duke and Notre Dame will not be a good one. So I'll be able to catch no mercy after Michigan's done with Nebraska.
Brutal. I forgot. There was some Maryland and something else. Maryland and Iowa or something is one of the night games somewhere. And I'm nah, dog. That's okay. I'd rather watch paint dry.
I got it pulled up still. Big Ten night game. Is Michigan State in Iowa?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Which we can't get into the sports break yet. I know we didn't start with it, but I got stuff to say about the old Sparties. So, but NXT, Becky, Tiffany, whatever, with the Extreme Rules, right?
Yes.
We already covered Dom and Dragon Lee. Yeah, I know we're missing some. Oh, how about Joe Gacy? And I know, this they're not my thing, right? Schism. Just the hell with it.
Well, they seem to be saying the hell with it, too.
Yeah.
What do you do when you, it's still weird to me that you had a loser... leaves NXT gimmick where the team that is legitimately going to leave NXT wins and then just mysteriously leaves TV. They didn't do anything. They didn't write it into the storyline. It was just all of a sudden oh shit, those two are gone. I've lost my way. And I'm I know that Joe Gacy was kind of questioning his own skills, I guess, when I can't remember who brought it up from. Reed Fowler and Rip Torn or whatever the fuck his name was. Is it Rip Fowler? And it wasn't Rip.
Jagger or something? Jagger Reed?
Jagger Reed.
Jagger Reed, that was it.
And yeah.
Something, I don't care. No.
But one of them brought up to Joe Gacy that he's been the one losing. And he did kind of start to have like a crisis of faith then, but I feel like they gave him a win to at least kind of get beyond that. And yeah, they just kind of picked it up though recently when they left, and it was just like, oh, well, this is kind of interesting. And yeah, I guess he kind of, if you're not going to have a congregation in that situation, you really need to get out of that gimmick.
Or just be like the lone messiah no one's listening to or something. Like,
oh,
it's not on Joe Gacy at all. It's just like an Ava Rain, right?
Yep.
Yeah. And it's like, all right, like it's not their fault. The thing sucked from the beginning. And it's not, you know, it was actually more fun when he was like the dickhead woke guy.
The original premise was still the best premise that he's had.
Yeah, not to say that was all that great, but it was better than just this thing, like, for, like, two roots, no tree, like, oh, whatever. So, yeah, I don't know what they can do, but it just seemed like that match with him and Trick, it just seemed like that was a give-up match. Like, all right, we're done with Joe Gacy with this. Like, wait, what?
Yeah.
I mean,
he's
not main roster guy, at least I don't think. I don't know. It was just bizarre to me the way they just got rid of him.
Yeah, it's a weird downward spiral that I'm not sure they'll follow through with. I maybe hope that they do. He seems like a good talker, and I guess I haven't ever really had a problem with his in-ring work.
Nope, not at all. That's what I'm saying. He's not the problem.
No.
It's whoever's like, all right, we have this really good idea for him. I'm like, no? Hey, we're going to take the Rock's daughter and make her Ava Rain, even though everyone knows it's the Rock's daughter. Like, okay. But yeah. Yeah, it was just weird. It was a sacrificial lamb for Trick. And carry on. Like, there was no follow-up. It just lost and on to commercial. Okay. So, I mean, it sounds like I'm not being negative on NXT because it was good, but that was just like little observations like that. Like, and so maybe sometimes we just read into it too much when something like that happens. Maybe it's part of the bigger good or greater good or whatever else, you know? But
not 2000 because it's No Mercy, right? This is Sunday.
Saturday.
Oh yeah.
We just established that. Because, yeah, I mean, it's a good weekend. Because next weekend, Michigan's on at 7:30 against Minnesota. So I'll be missing, what is it, Payback? No.
Yes. Fastlane.
Yeah, Fastlane. So I guess I can put it on my laptop, but I like hearing it, so.
Yeah, it just doesn't quite hit the same without the sound.
No. And speaking of hit the same, so you mentioned something about how they're keeping Becky and Rhea away from each other, right?
That is the only explanation that I can come up with, sir.
All right. So I'm not sure if you and Chris talked about it. Where do you think Jade Cargill fits into all this now?
We talked about the Jade stuff more from the giant FU to AEW, honestly, just with ESPN announcing that that signing. I don't know. Like, the way that they're already pushing her, she is going to get some... I guess I'll be interested if she gets the Sami Zayn / Kevin Owens cup of coffee in NXT before going to the main roster. I could see that happening.
Well, Zane was down there for a while compared to Kevin. Kevin's a cup of coffee one.
Okay.
He wasn't there very long at all in comparison.
Yeah. So I'll be interested to see if they do the cup of coffee with her. Have her, you know, I mean, you could throw her out there and have her run through everyone, win the women's championship, and then lose it and go up to the main roster within, you know, a 6 month time period if you want to.
Yeah.
If they hold off on her until the Women's Royal Rumble next year, wouldn't be surprised either, honestly.
I mean, if they hadn't announced, like, my thing is they made a rather large, like, production of this.
Yes.
Who broke? ESPN broke it. It's never WWE just saying, "Hey, she signed." It's always as heard first by Sporting News. Like,
we know no. They gave you the news.
Yeah, it's like God damn. Everything has to be fake. It's so frustrating. But anyways, and then WWE's like, "Hey, we just signed." As in a WWE post, it is broken by ESPN. Like, okay. Like, don't you think you guys would know first? Like, there's no, like, even the ESPN go, "Hey, we broke the news first." WWE's like, "No, you didn't." Like, we, okay, sure. But
everyone had figured this out a long time ago, guys. Yeah. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, it's like, so they put a big production on their WWE page, and then they start, like, they had an interview with her, and then they had her training at the PC Center.
Oh, yep.
And she's been doing other interviews, and it's like, well, huh. Like, I can't see them putting her in NXT, to be honest. Because as much as she may need it, I can't see them making this big of a deal for her to go sit in NXT. The other part is, and I thought this was weird on Monday, Nia Jax comes out, starts talking about she squashed everybody and there's no one left. Out comes Zoe Stark. They have a match at the end. If she does this again, and I was joking when I sent that message to you and Chris that I want to see Nia versus Jade immediately, but is it possible they brought Nia Jax back just to like make her look dominant? Just for Jade to come in and get rid of her.
It is conceivable. You know, depending upon how, again, like, it really all depends upon how long or if any time she spends in NXT.
Right. But I just can't see her spending time in there. I really can't. Probably too much money. And too much publicity. Like, and she even said in one of the, you know, like one of the interviews I saw her, she said that she was going to a place where she would become a star and be an impact and all this. And it's like, yeah, you wouldn't be having her say that stuff if, you know, she's just going to NXT. Not even trying to be mean about it. Like, I'm not putting NXT down, but it's like Cody didn't come in. Oh, she also said that, like, that was another thing. She said she saw the way WWE treated Cody.
Oh, I did not see really, that part.
Yeah, she was. That was a big part of her decision. And also, Jade was a Cody person. Remember, she got brought in with that feud with her and Shaq.
Yeah.
So it makes total sense. So, and I guarantee the next one that's going is Ricky Starks. Guarantee he's gone.
Yeah. Chris and I definitely talked about this part. The way that just the mess that AEW has been is a general whole, not even just from a storyline perspective, but all the backstage shenanigans that go on there. Yeah, I would probably prefer to be at a a more stable environment.
Yeah. I mean, as stable as wrestling environments get, of course. But yeah, no, I understand what you mean. Yeah, I agree. And I think she also said there was like she got frustrated not facing the top people. Which isn't that what we were saying too? Like, why isn't she going? Why isn't she fighting like Thunder Rosa?
Yeah, her and Britt Baker never had a match.
Her Thunder never did.
Nope.
I don't think Jamie Hayter.
No. Nope. Either.
No Toni Storm. Toni Storm? No, I don't think so.
Yeah, possibly. I think she was on the list.
Yeah, but it's like, I kind of see what she's saying.
Yeah.
Dude, I've seen Jay Cargill in person. And again, it's not like she's the greatest wrestler in the world. Let's not delude anybody here. But she walked out and you were like, what the fuck is that? Like, you know.
Yeah, she is a physical specimen. Unlike anyone else, quite honestly.
Yeah. And now she even said like it wasn't money because I didn't remember. She's married to Brandon Phillips.
Yes, he had mentioned that something. I'm like, hey, good for that guy. Like, yeah. I had no idea, but yeah, she does not need to do this for the money.
No, but if you want to talk like, you know, they talk about their brands and all this stuff now, you ain't getting any bigger brand recognition than WWE. I mean, they want to market, cultivate, and push people to make money for them. So, yeah, it's going to open up way more doors, as long as they don't screw it up, of course. But, you know,
They seem pretty good when they seem dedicated to someone. They just do a terrible job of doing that type of thing.
Yeah. Well, no, I meant as long as WWE doesn't do anything stupid.
Oh, yeah. And,
you know, no, I mean the guy running WWE.
Oh,
Vaudeville villain. Jesus.
Yeah, I mean, he's just short of, you know, a little extra overhang on that mustache from twirling it.
Oh, never mind. Well, that's, I mean, he's still being investigated, so who knows if he's still going to be around or not. I mean, it is a company that owns UFC. Not exactly like they're going to be like, hey, you got to step down. So,
yeah, they are okay with questionable personal life decisions.
Yeah, I mean, stupid Dana White smacked his wife in public. He's still president with no problem. So.
Yep. They are okay with these things.
Yeah, just weird. But
just ask for forgiveness. That's all.
I don't think Dana White did. I think he just told him, hey, fuck off. It's between me and my wife.
No, I think he said that he shouldn't have done that.
Well, I would hope to. Okay, I'm sorry. If that's the apology. Yeah, well, no shit.
Yeah, well, yeah. Like, that was one of those thanks, Captain Obvious kind of.
Yeah, exactly.
Kind of moments.
Yeah, hey, guys, I shouldn't have done that. Now fuck off and leave us alone. Like, wait, what? That's an apology? It's a pretty baller way to handle it, by the way, because he's still the president of the UFC. So
yeah, I mean, I do think that was pretty much his strategy there.
Maybe that's the way to handle it. I don't know.
Yeah,
it doesn't seem like apologies really get you anywhere anymore. So just be defiant, or just don't say anything.
Yeah, I like the latter one.
Yeah, true, but. I don't mean to cover ground you and Chris talked about, but you guys did praise that Dragon Lee Dominic Mysterio match, right?
You know, I don't think we talked about the match that much.
Hey, listen, it was good, and it wasn't all Dragon Lee. Dom Dom's coming into his own finally.
Yeah, he's finally getting a hold of things.
Yeah,
I mean, I do think that he's finally been at it long enough that that could be helping out.
I think getting away from his dad and feuding with his dad has helped him. I really do, because he joins Judgment Day, gets done with the Rey Mysterio feud. You know, he still brings his dad up, but...
Right.
But he's around Finn, and he's around Damian, and he's around Rhea. Three distinctly different styles of wrestlers. Different style of promos. Different style of, like, you know, conducting themselves and all that. Where your dad is always going to be your dad. Like, well, no, your son, don't do it. Like, hey, I got to be my own man. I know, but, like, dad, you don't get that with these three. Because they do, I mean, I guess they travel together.
No, okay.
They do roads and stuff. So it's like, all right, you get to pick the brain of different people. So.
Yeah, I guess I'd always feel differently if I didn't know that he trained at Lance Storm's place to start with, so.
Oh, did he? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Well.
Yeah, so he
things either.
He has sought outside advice, but he also still is, again, relatively new to this whole wrestling business. So, yeah, I mean, he definitely, I do think that that was Dragon Lee's best showing so far in the WWE. I also think that maybe that's the first match that they've really let him let it rip in too. And they gave him a decent amount of time.
Yes. I thought it was weird they put that on Raw. I figured that was just going to be on the pay-per-view, but I guess because old Ali wasn't around anymore. They're like, hurry up and get this done so everyone forgets.
Yeah, they really had to rewrite that story in a hurry.
Yeah. I guess because he wanted his release? I don't know. It just seems weird. Like, all right, you're released after this match. Okay, make a loser leaves town match or something. I don't know. If I don't win, I quit WWE. All right, bye. Like, you know, just something. I mean, all these people are just disappearing. That's always the thing with this stuff. They just disappear.
He's the only one that really disappeared, though.
Well, there's one that they really need to explain. They're not going to, but, you know, old Riddle.
Oh.
Yeah, that's a pretty significant one to just disappear. He's been featured, since he's been back, he's been featured every week.
Yeah, he has been conspicuous by his absence for the last couple of weeks here.
And it's like, I know they've been building this thing with Drew McIntyre and New Day, but wouldn't it have been a little more fun if he would have just been like the guy that Riddle couldn't tame? And he just beats the hell out of Riddle and we don't see him anymore? You know?
Oh, that would have been, it would have cemented McIntyre as the heel. They really seem to be going with the slow burn and the full reveal in that department.
See, all right, so I got a little different perspective on the whole Drew McIntyre, Kofi Kingston, New Day thing, right? Xavier Woods.
It's all about up, up, down, down.
Well, no, so he's out there talking on the Miz's show, and a New Day comes out and just runs him down. And it's like, why the fuck would I help you guys? We just spent all this time just dragging me through the mud. So I had to get myself out the mud. Callbacks. But, so why would I help you? Hey, no, I'm done. Like, even if maybe next week that he goes, well, you know, I got rid of one problem, so I don't need you two, it's more problems. At least acknowledge Riddle's not around anymore. So
yeah, that, I mean, they have just full on moved Drew into a different feud.
He needs to be a heel anyways.
And
he never smiles. When he does, it's like, oh, okay, it doesn't seem natural. Like, he's probably a nice guy, but in the scope of wrestling and in his looks, no. He's just got the heel persona still. So
yeah, he just needed something else to get into, right. And that's why I think it is kind of weird that they're kind of slow burning this situation.
Yeah. So, and then is Eric hurt or something? Where was he Monday?
Yeah, one of them got hurt.
Again?
Yeah.
Man. Another team's just snake bitten because Ivar was out for a while.
Yeah, I think Eric is actually the one hurt this time around. Because, yeah, didn't Ivar have a singles match against someone with Valhalla out there? Yeah.
Well, they beat up Xavier and Kofi. I don't remember singles match because, unfortunately, the Viking Raiders just aren't getting over. No matter how much you do with them, it's not working. I don't really, outside of when Ivar does his impressive big man stuff.
Other than his cartwheel?
Yeah, no cartwheels or his handsprings or any of that stuff. But, yeah, just, it's not working because it's just goofy. Like, no one buys that they're Vikings, you know? But I guess you couldn't call them War Machine, so whatever. But
yeah, hey, I mean, they really dig that stuff, so.
Yeah. But, yeah, so Riddle, how do you mess that gig up? I guess addiction and being aloof is a powerful combination. So
I guess I keep on forgetting what, because there was the whole is this all TSA stuff, or is this another story that has come out in the meantime?
No, the TSA stuff was the final straw, because he accused those people, but I guess he was just drunk as fuck. So when he's making the accusation, WWE's like, no. And then it was funny, I was listening to either Observer or somebody else talking about, well, this is the same company that Dana White is a part of. So, you know, he always had his problem with UFC. So maybe Dana was like, hey, Vince, just get rid of this guy. He's an asshole. Which I'm sure, Vince is like, yeah, well, he makes me money. But,
Yeah, original bro, definitely not in a good spot currently.
No, just messed everything up.
Yep.
He really did. Just totally messed his career up.
Yep, it seems he's got no one to blame but himself in this situation.
Yeah, who knew he needed Randy Orton in his life? And I'm not joking either. But old Randy seems like he may be coming back. So he was spotted at the Performance Center, so that's fun.
That's always one where it's like, yep, I'll believe it when I see it here. I don't know what's up. It's really taken a long time here.
There were pictures of him at the Performance Center.
Oh, there were.
Someone had a video, and he was walking out, like, Randy! He's like, yeah, don't ruin the surprise. So, John Cena doesn't have a partner. And the last we saw Randy was when they lost the tag titles. So maybe that could be John's partner, if it's not The Rock, as they're trying to convince us.
I think Chris had the more logical answer that it's LA Knight.
Oh, yeah. Well, as long as COVID doesn't keep him out.
I think he'll be okay, but who knows.
Yeah, it hits everyone different, man.
I guess it depends upon how it hits them, and I believe that most of the time it's an okay time period for him to come back, is what I was thinking off the hop.
Oh, yeah.
So,
I mean, they've changed all the rules for that thing anyways.
Yep.
So, yeah. But, yeah, the LA Knight makes a lot of sense, of course.
Yeah.
I'm guessing Randy will be, Rumble? If he comes back, it'll be the Rumble.
There isn't much of a reason to get him back on the roster at this point.
And they need to get Roman Reigns' ass back fast. Because I know they keep mentioning him. But that title, he's going to come in and start talking about his God, blah, blah, blah. But it's like we talked about before. He's never there to defend it. And that title is just kind of going
this time period has been a little much.
Yeah.
You know, like, I know that he's taken a month off here and there, and I don't have that much of a problem with it. This one seems to be a little bit longer than it needs to be.
Yeah, because he was at SummerSlam the week after, and then that's it. So all of September he's been gone. I mean, not even a video, you know? And I think he's like the third week of October or second week of October scheduled for a SmackDown. But it's like, good Lord, seven weeks?
Yeah, it's a long time for him to have been gone.
Yeah, and like it still seems like this entire Bloodline thing is now just crawling. Like Jimmy all of a sudden just being back in the Bloodline makes no sense.
Well, he's not really just back in. I mean, they've kind of made that part clear.
Well, but he says he's never got kicked out. He says he never left.
They're definitely making him appear delusional.
Yeah, a little bit. But so I guess we'll see. But I don't know. It just like it had gone so well, and it just seemed stagnant. I mean, it's splitting everybody up, and then not having Roman around at all. You know.
Yeah. I mean, it's taken too long at this point for them to bring him back. Like, it's great that every episode Paul Heyman is having to say call Roman Reigns like at least three times every show.
Yeah.
But there's just no substitute for him actually being there.
No. And actually defending a title would be good.
I don't care about that part.
Hey, it's the only title on SmackDown. Because they created one for Raw, and like literally no one has anything to do on SmackDown.
U.S. Championship, right?
That's a feud between Austin Theory, Rey Mysterio, and now Santos is shifted out. Like, no one really talks about it. LA Knight's the last guy to even mention. Doesn't matter what title it is. If it's Rey Mysterio, if it's Seth Rollins, it damn sure doesn't make a difference if it's Roman Reigns. Like, all that stuff. But you need a prize to go after. And if you're not going to make the U.S. title the main event picture, then, like they tried doing before on Raw, then, well, like I guess they should have never moved Gunther. So at least he would have the Intercontinental title over there.
Yeah, he would have been a good draw to have. But then it's kind of weird to have both of your dominant champions on the same show.
Yeah.
But yeah, that whole Rey as U.S. champion has been kind of weird.
I mean, it seems like Escobar's going to turn on him, right? After losing Friday? It just seems like that's what should happen.
Yeah, I feel like I keep on saying that, and it keeps on not happening.
That's true. I mean, Triple H likes slow plays, but this just seems like it's time. Because he has, in wrestling terms, he has a good reason to be. It was his title match. He gets hurt. Rey goes and wins. And Rey's the ones, you know, defending it and all this stuff. So, but Rey did say, you know, he did get mad when he thought Rey was going to say no. You know, they get those little glimmers here and there. He's like, yeah, of course. He's like, oh, and he's like, she looked surprised when he said yes. So, but I don't know. How long have we been going anyways? I don't remember.
Long enough. If you want to punch out, we can punch out because who cares?
Oh, yeah, it's like an hour 24. Holy shit. Oh, yeah, so real quick. Yeah, that Iowa-Michigan State game, holy God. NBC's got to be kicking themselves because their night games have been shit. That Penn State game, dude, I turned it off. Iowa's awful. How they were ranked 24th, or I think they still are.
Yeah, they were higher. They were like 9 or something like that. So I'm not surprised they didn't drop completely out of.
No, there's no way Iowa's ranked 9. Penn State, maybe. I do think Iowa was like 24th. They're not ranked now.
Okay.
I'll say this right now. If Iowa was ranked 9th, whoever voted for them to be in the top 10 should never be allowed to vote again. I've never seen such ineptitude on offense. That's crazy. That's crazy business. Every time, they just punted the ball. Like, this stinks.
I think Penn State's defense is pretty good. They're not that good that you should look that inept.
Yeah. Dude, that's what I'm saying. I'm not even like, you know, I'm not a Penn State fan at all. I'm not even insulting them by saying that I don't know if they're good. Like, I know they played Iowa, right? They
yeah.
They played anybody. It's like, okay, like, I guess we'll find out sometime if they play Ohio State. They're going to play Michigan later, but I don't know like who else they play. So it's just crazy. And then that Ohio State-Notre Dame game was hilariously inept. That was not two good defenses. That was just bad offense.
Yeah, I didn't really watch that much of it. We after the Penn State game got out of control, I tuned into that.
I was surprised you didn't do that. It was 3-0. I was like, that game's over. Iowa ain't scoring. So, but no, like, I was watching Ohio State and Notre Dame. Notre Dame couldn't stop them because they had 10 people on the field. 2 plays in a row.
Oh my God, I didn't realize it was 2 plays.
Yeah, the last 2 games of that game, they had 10 players on defense.
Oh my God. I knew that it was the last play. I'm just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. And then Ryan Day goes off. What a dumbass. That guy knows he's one more loss this year to Michigan, that he's in big trouble. The audacity to say it's always been Ohio versus everyone, you are a delusional dumbass.
It's one of those things where fans can say that stuff. I don't want my head coach saying that stuff.
Yeah, fans say that stuff because then we just like start making fun of each other. A coach says it, and it's like, ugh.
Yeah, that, and I guess for whatever reason, this season has brought me to the, I guess I forgot for some reason how much of hucksters all of these college football coaches are. Good God. They may as well all be in professional wrestling.
Oh, wait, who are you referring to?
Just
who else?
Everyone. I mean, just from the Coach Prime stuff, which it is about is WWE as WWE gets, to because who? What was it? Oregon.
Yeah.
Oregon's coach doing the whole gimmick of they're fighting for clicks, we're fighting for wins. Yeah. I'm just like, oh my God, you bunch of fucking hucksters. Like, and yeah, the Ryan Day stuff thrown in there. And even your boy, I'm just like, oh God, I hate our boss. I just hate our boss. I don't even need a first name. Just if it says Harbaugh, just automatically hard pass.
That's fine. Like, you're gonna love him if he's your coach. You're gonna love him if he's not. You ain't gonna like him. But it's my favorite part of the weekend. Everyone knew Colorado was gonna lose to Oregon. If you actually thought they were gonna win, you're a dumbass. It just wasn't gonna happen. Because Colorado played nobody, and they were a nice story. They were. I don't mind Deion Sanders. I don't think this is his fault. The second he got that job at Colorado, every single national news, especially, or sports, national news, like sports
yes.
news, were jerking themselves off to make sure they covered him. Every single week. His press conference is on like Fox College Football Channel. They don't cover the Big 12. They're Big Ten and somebody else right now. I think Pac-12. So I don't know how that's going to work out. But oh yeah, I guess college is Pac-12 right now. Never mind. But so it's like Deion Sanders is still Deion Sanders. Nothing's changed. But then they're like, "Oh, a coach is talking like this." Yeah, because he's a younger coach. First off, he's always been this way. He's a different generation. So he comes in, and everyone's like, "Oh, he's talking mad shit. His players are talking mad shit." All right, cool. And even Deion Sanders, like, you got to back it up. He came right out after that game. I was like, "Yeah, we got our ass kicked. Because that was a good old fashioned butt whooping."
Oh.
And then the stuff about Oregon's coach comes out where he's talking shit, and somehow that's not allowed. Like everyone's like, "Oh, you know, wait a couple years, they'll get you back." Yeah, well, that's not this year. Like Deion Sanders handled getting shit talked to far more than his fans do. Which, boy. The Colorado thing cracks me up because it just shows you what, what the starfuckers everyone is.
Oh.
No one would have been caught dead at a Colorado game. And now you keep seeing all these rappers and celebrities going to Colorado games. And it's like, ugh.
I remember when Colorado was great for it was 5 years, guys.
Yeah, they were good. They were good for about 10, I'd say. You know?
Yeah, it's good. They won
the national championship, for God's sake.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's so gross how people just latch onto something. And all they want to do is be seen. They don't, they pretend to care and they take off. And it's just all that stuff going on now. And I'm like, Deion Sanders seems, and I'm being genuine here, he seems like a good guy that does care about his kids that he coaches. He's tough on them, but it seems like he wants the best for them. Again, this is all outwardly, you know?
Yeah, right.
For sure. And then to see all these star fuckers just come in, it's like, ugh. But that's him. So you know what you're getting. The hypocrisy of it all to where they can, Colorado and all of them can talk shit all they want. Somebody else does, and it's like, oh my God.
I can't believe it.
Yeah, how dare you talk back, or how dare you, talk shit about them? That's not how it works. And then it comes out, did you see all the stuff the Colorado players, talking shit during the game, and, walking the field and, trudging up the grass at Oregon, the Oregon O?
Oh, no.
Basically being 18, 19-year-old kids.
What? You mean 18 and 19-year-olds acted like 18 and 19-year-olds?
Hey, man, I remember when Devin Bush did that to Michigan State, Sparty symbol. And because they were being dickheads because it's Michigan State. Which, that was a purposeful transition. A grown man. And I know it's far more complex than this. I don't care. A grown man lost out on an $80 million contract for jerking off on the phone. That better have been the most satisfying hug you have ever had to lose $80 million. Just, you could do that shit for free, man. Just wait till she's off the phone. I don't care. He's saying, "Oh, it was, you know, we had a romantic relationship." Well, you better make damn sure, because this faux pas, sir, just cost you $80 million. You know how many keyboards you could have bought and jizzed all over that for $80 million? Ugh. Michigan State, man. Just amazing.
Yeah, and just when they look like they're getting back on track, they jump the tracks quite terribly.
They were not back on track. That's how he made all that money. He had that one good year when he got Kenneth Walker Jr. and a bunch
the
of
third, sir. The third.
Yes, yes. And a bunch of transfers. And then it was downhill right after that. So. And they weren't going to be good this year because, like, all the people. And this is another thing people do. When it's going well, everyone's on your side. And since it, you know, it went south last year, and it was going south this year as well. Now everyone's like, "Oh, you shouldn't have been using the transfer portal the way you did." Rewind 2 years ago, when he was using the transfer portal as a wizard, to be quite honest, and now that was fine. But now that's not working. That it doesn't like, yeah. So that game's gonna suck. Iowa, Michigan State. Maybe yeah. It'll be Sparty's last win of the year. So
it's not going to be good.
No, at all. What a weak for games. So
yep.
Yeah, because Duke and Notre Dame is not a marquee game.
Oh my God, so, no.
No, I don't care if Duke's ranked or not. So all right, let's get the hell out of here.
Okay, bell time beer on your end, sir.
Nope, not today.
Going in season here, on the way up to Josh's place, stopped in at Noctera Brewing Company, grabbed their Foliage Finder pumpkin spiced ale. It has a nice, kind of smoky background to it, almost giving it a, kind of lighter stout type vibe to it. And it did kind of have the usual pumpkin spices to it. So, yeah, right up my alley. I do like some, pumpkin beers, and we'll see how many more I have. I'm not sure it's going to be a lot. Still ready for some Oktoberfest beers. So that is the Bell Time beer suggestion from @DerFrango11. He is at Granny Maze. The brand is at Stunt Granny. Rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. Download us at any number of locations, whether it's Spotify, iHeartRadio, or Stitcher. Oh, no, not Stitcher. Shit, Google. Reverted to the old one. Fuck. Have a good night, grandkids.
Later, gang.